Welcome to the ITB Berlin Travel Hero podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamp-Davies with management consultancy A Bright Approach, and I'm excited about today's chat titled AI in Travel, From Hype to Reality. Artificial intelligence has dominated almost every conversation in travel over the past couple of years, and we've already moved well beyond asking whether AI will transform our industry. The real question now is, where is it already making a difference? What is generally working, and what comes next? Today, we're taking a broad look at AI across the travel ecosystem, from inspiration to trip planning, to hotels, attractions, customer service, and of course, the rise of agentic AI. I'm delighted to be joined by two experts and industry friends who have been at the forefront of AI innovation in travel for a while. Welcome, Mathis Bolt, CEO of Giarca.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful that you could join us today. And also joining us is Alex Bainbridge, who is CEO of Otora. Welcome, Alex.
Hello, good afternoon. Great to be here.
Wonderful to have you both, as I've said already. And I think, in fairness to our audience, to set the scene a little bit more, you need to tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today. So, Mathis, why don't you go first, please?
So I actually spent most of my career in travel tech from end of the 90s, where we were trying to build, I often say, too early Airbnb, where we wanted to digitize bed and breakfast in the DACH regions, which completely failed back in the days due to two reasons. One, none of these bed and breakfasts had a computer and none had an internet. So we first had to fix the foundation before you could actually start sending online bookings. But this actually got me into the travel tech industry and created my really first big opportunity where I joined Booking.com. Spent there as a managing director 10 years building the supply side in big parts of Europe. Moved to Amsterdam in the headquarters from 2012 to 2015 and overseen global strategic partnerships. And in 2015, I felt I should do something new. And there was one particular segment in travel that hasn't been digitized and reformed as the other verticals, and that has been tourism activity. So I joined Get Your Guide as a vice president, helped them to scale the marketplace till 2023 through a very interesting time called Corona. And since 2023, I'm the CEO of Giarca. Giarca is foundational data layer for the travel industry. So we're really taking care that all the businesses can operate on high quality, standardized and normalized data.
A super insight. You've crossed over a few categories there. So that's really good. We're delighted to have you. Alex, tell us how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, well, I started as a computer scientist. I've got a degree in computer science, but I've always loved travel. And so after I graduated, with some university friends, we drove from London to Kathmandu, which took 4 months. And so ever since then, I have been in travel and mostly in travel tech. I combine my love of travel with my love of tech. I've spent time in the hotel sector. I've worked for three different airlines leading projects on e-commerce and distribution. But mostly, I'm better known as a sightseeing technologist. I was the founder of a company called TourCMS, which I sold to Palasys. And so I got an exit in 2017, 2018, and I was looking around thinking, what should I do next? And I got into autonomous vehicles. I've been working on AI problems since 2018, full-time. I remember speaking at ITB Berlin on the e-travel stage about autonomous vehicles in 2018, and like 20 people turned up. No one really cared about AI right then. So what I've been building is a solution that completely changes how we think about in-destination experiences. And since autonomous vehicles, we've now branched out to include AI glasses and AI agents, which I'm sure we'll come onto lots during this conversation. But that's my background.
Let's dive straight in. We have a lot to get through. We met a couple of days ago to have a little chat about where we want to take this particular conversation. And let's just say that we've all seen and heard the hype around AI. What, Mathis, I'll go to you first. What's one development, and I would love a relatively short answer here, what's one development over the past 12 months that has genuinely surprised you?
Yeah, I think it's probably how quickly AI and LLMs became commodity. So, you know, when you approach a problem, you're not talking too much about which model you use. It is more like, how do you create most customer value? And the LLMs and the models, I think it's just commodity that sits on top as an additional layer. But the foundation is the area where the most people are now spending time on to get that right.
Alex, your observation in this area?
My biggest impact I think I've seen in the last few weeks is that the evolution of voice. A couple of years ago, we've got 60 different AI characters who can be put into different marketing positions and can lead tours. But we've now got this new model from OpenAI called GPT Live, and it's duplex. Duplex means that you can be talking to the computer at the same time as the computer is talking to you. And this completely humanizes a conversation. I now spend probably 4 or 5 hours a day talking to GPT Live, which is connected to Codex, which is another OpenAI product. And that is how I do all my development. I still write code. Well, I don't actually write code. I just talk about writing code now. And I think that that GPT Live connected to Codex is the culmination of a couple of years of progress on voice. And I think when non-technical people, non-early adopters begin to start using this, I think it will be game-changing. I no longer type at a keyboard. I just talk, which means I no longer have to be sat at my desk. You know, just simple things like that.
I like that. Two very, very different approaches here. And you guys are sort of looking at it in the last, should we say, weeks or months, you know, from a slightly different perspective. Where do you believe that AI is actually creating the biggest commercial value in travel today? I mean, where are we seeing measurable ROIs? Mathis, can I start with you again, please?
One part is very obvious. This is obviously everything around automatization, get up processes in place. Customer service is a big one where I think a lot of businesses have invested. And I think when you look into the search funnel, I would say the inspirational recommendational layer, it's the area where it creates most value. At the same time, I would argue we shouldn't lose the customer view here, as in particular process automatization is very often more internally focused to optimize for costs. But doing so not necessarily mean that your customer has a better experience, sometimes even the opposite. And I think we need to be very mindful here, for whom do we optimize and that we're not losing the customer.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Alex, what are you seeing in measurable ROIs out there?
Well, I'm going to take a slightly negative point, which is that I still think AI is sat in the opportunity column, not in the problem column. And so people who are thinking, well, what innovations can we do? Or all going towards AI. For many, it's still not quite there in terms of the must-do thing that they have to be doing over the next couple of months, which it would be if it was a key problem. And the reason why this happens is because in different sectors, people have got different problems. In hotels and flights, this is a distribution adjustment. And therefore, we've seen distribution adjustments over the last 20 years, and this is just one more distribution adjustment. In sightseeing, it's an entirely new product set. It's going to be more impactful in sightseeing in terms of things that people have to get their heads around. I'm struggling to see real AI numbers. We can see lots of people talking about AI. I'm really struggling getting the actual numbers down and saying, you know, this is how much money you are about to lose over the next 12 months. So therefore, this is your budget to spend on AI now. But we can all see that this is the direction of travel. And therefore, you know, these projects have to happen.
Let's move on and talk specifically about some of the sectors in your view, again, you know, who you believe is actually moving forward fastest. And this is some hotels, airlines, OTAs, cruise, tourism activities. Are we seeing innovation everywhere, in your opinion, or are some of these sectors just really dialing ahead of the game? Mathis, I'll go back to you again, please.
Yeah, I think it varies on kind of state of the business and how tech-savvy they are, and obviously whether they can afford the investments and have the teams at hand. So, for example, in hotels, what we do see is that hotel chains are moving extremely fast. Many of them have already established partnerships with some of the larger LLM models. They really look into automatization, creating efficiency throughout their entire portfolio, while an independent hotel necessarily struggles simply because they don't have the resources, and they obviously then buy certain external solutions that are available. Think about a chatbot. That's what we broadly see is adapted, but that obviously is not where AI necessarily delivers the biggest value. I think it's really about AI orchestration, making sense of all the different silos that live in a hotel, connect them. So I think there's far more data work needed before you can actually apply AI on top of that. And I think that is where I would suggest people should spend most of their time on before they actually even think about how to apply AI at scale. OTA is obviously investing a lot into it. There's a lot of discussion whether they get disrupted, whether still need an OTA. I have my personal opinion on it. That's obviously, they have probably one of the broadest supply contracts in the world, direct relationship, there's payment involved. There's so many different layers required. And they obviously have established a very strong brand, a trusted brand over the years, that I do believe they will apply AI to actually serve their customer better. I think in the area of content creation, there's a lot of innovation happening, creating more products, customizing, personalization. I think that is what we are broadly seeing. In tours and activities, I guess, Alex, you can probably talk about it in a little bit more detail.
The only companies that are being acquired by OTAs and others are trip planners. So you as a consumer going to a website, going to an AI agent or some other, it might be a chat in WhatsApp, some kind of service like that. And, you know, saying, hey, I'm going with some friends, going for 5 days, we're going to Berlin. You know, what do we do? How do we plan this? That's where the startup action is. It's not necessarily where the industry action is, but it's where the startup action is. And that's where the acquisitions and mergers are happening today. I'll come back to Mattis's point slightly on hotels. I think the largest impact on AI will be the impact on the location of a hotel. I think as we introduce autonomous vehicles and flying cars like Yihang from China, we'll no longer need the concept of location, which after all is the primary criteria consumers use when selecting a hotel. I think the concept of location will change. You no longer will need a hotel that is compact. What you need is a hotel that's got lots of pickup drop-off space or gardens to land your flying cars. And so when you start talking about 10, 20, 30 year impacts, which after all, if you're in hotel investment, that's the kind of timeline you think about, then the impact of AI is not about orchestration. It's not about efficiency. It's about, have we actually put this hotel in the right place?
So I want to talk a little bit about the sort of the traveler journey, because I think this is something that resonates and a lot of our listeners can relate to as well. So how is AI changing the way that travelers discover? This is a little bit basic, but still, I think we should go over this. How do they discover, plan, and ultimately, very soon, or even already, book their trips? Alex, let's kick off with you this time.
So the first thing that's, I think, going to happen really soon is the impact of the decentralized web. Now, we all use decentralized technology today, every one of us. And today, you could call it email, in that I can email you, you can email me, we're on different services. We don't need them to interact in any way. There's no API agreement. It just, as a protocol, enables data to move from one place to another. I think we're going to end up with that happening in consumer traveler preferences. So am I vegetarian? Do I have any mobility issues? And one of the things that I've been working on with a group in the Decentralized Identity Foundation is a cross-industry standard on how we can get those preferences between to be shared in a GDPR and other legal requirements to be complied with, so that when a consumer checks in at a hotel and they're vegetarian, the check-in person, who may not be a person in the future, maybe a robot, will be able to suggest something. They go, ooh, you should go to this restaurant in this hotel because they've got really good salads. I don't know what they're quite going to say. But the ability to have all of these multiple touch points during a journey, all sharing the same preference base, enables totally new, totally frictionless travel. And ultimately, it gets us towards, doesn't completely get us there, but it gets us towards what some of the online travel agents have been trying to do, which they call the connected trip. AI and preference sharing is going to be, you know, it's going to get us quite a long way there.
Thank you for that. Again, also a little bit of future gazing there for you. Mattis, let's bring it right into today, maybe a little bit as well. What do you see as the sort of the advantages for the travelers using AI at the moment?
Yeah, I think the biggest consumer shift, what we all see, is obviously that people do not search, but ask. and they ask very explicit questions, and all the suppliers and businesses need to be able to answer these questions with structured data. I think that's the first point, which is very critical. And based on our experience, it is by far not where it should be. We see that even hotels do not or can't even provide all the necessary information to a booking.com or to an Expedia or to a trip.com to be able to answer all these questions. I give you a very explicit example. Last year, I was searching for a Finca Mallorca, and we were traveling in autumn, and the key requirement was we look for a Finca with heated pool. How often do you or you don't find whether it's heated or not heated? You see that there's a pool, but is it heated or no? And then the next question is like, what is the size of this pool? There's so many questions that people nowadays want to know before they make a commitment, but the data and information is not at least available. It exists. It exists in the head of the GM. There are people that are able to answer it, but they haven't taken the effort yet to put it in a structured way that you can make it available to the LLMs. Or another one is, let's say you drive a Mercedes G-Class. Not saying you should, but let's assume you drive one. And you book a city hotel and you want to park your G-Class in the garage. What is the height of the garage? Does it actually fit in? Yes or no? Simple question. Electric charging, another one, gets better now in the content field that hotels communicated. But all these little things can kill a conversion if you're not working on this really basic foundational data fundament that, in my view, every business should really focus on.
And in sightseeing, we've got exactly the same problem in that we have spent the last 25 years aggregating data, but the data that's all been collected and all the processes that have been built with technology have been the processes that underpin ticketing, so that none of them underpin the experience itself. So you put a pair of AI glasses on and you walk around a museum, you require a completely different set of data to be in those AI glasses than would have been necessary to have bought the 30 euro ticket to the museum in the first place. And that's the key problem in sightseeing, is that we've been collecting, distributing, building partnerships between the wrong entities on the wrong data.
We're very much in agreement on this particular point. So it's the data points, you know, that are sometimes simply missing when people are doing the planning. But it's obviously coming and it's beginning to come together rather fast as well. We've already touched on hospitality and hotels. I'm going to go on and talk about something that's being discussed absolutely everywhere at the moment at all travel conferences, which is trust still around AI and agentic AI. And despite, I would say, AI becoming sort of a major influence in travel planning, as we've just discussed, according to Focusrite research very recently, around half of travelers, they still go back and visit the original supplier website before booking. And I think this goes hand in hand with what you're both just saying, that you simply can't get all the information that you are looking for. And, you know, the traveler is looking for, has got many, many more questions than they ever had before, now that they sort of feel that the answers are at their fingertips. What does this ultimately tell us about trust from the traveler, that they go back anyway to the supplier websites? Mattis, maybe we can kick off with you.
I think trust is a big word, and I think it's important to really think in which context is it used here. So I think we all trust AI to optimize our emails, for example, or, you know, handle certain tasks. This is not a problem. I think where trust really comes in is in the moment where you kind of hand over your credit card and AI is making a commitment for you on your behalf eventually even. And I think here the trust is not established. And I do believe there's good reasons for it, as we don't have a lot of experience with LLMs yet. And while everyone says they will be neutral and they will do everything that you want, these are commercial businesses. And when you now see already certain movements of the LLMs, how they want to make ads available within a chat, the key question in my view in the future is, how much can and will I trust LLMs to make the right recommendation? This, in my view, is going to take some time. So I do believe it adds a lot of value, upper funnel recommendation, but people still want to stay in control on the last steps when it comes to a clear commitment. And one thing we shouldn't forget, I think there's a big difference between a corporate booking where you just book, let's say, one night in New York, 3-star hotel. I think most people would feel comfortable that AI just handles it based on your preferences, that you always stay in the same one. Summer vacation is often even very emotional, and people, some at least, enjoy doing the planning and doing the research and looking into the different options. So we shouldn't necessarily assume that everyone wants to get rid of this inspirational phase and have an AI just tell you, you should go to this hotel and then you do this activity and you please board this plane. I think there's more to it. And I think the comparison that I often like to use is when we go back a couple of years in time to the Internet of Things. You might recall the time where everyone was super excited that your fridge can do cool stuff for you and your washing machine is connected, everything is connected. Nowadays, all your machines are connected to the internet, but who's really using it? Like, is there really a customer need for it? And I think that is, again, how we should think about AI and LLMs. LLMs in the future will be just an invisible layer that serves, hopefully, customers better. But we won't speak about the term LLM and AI in the future anymore as much as today. Same as we don't talk about, I don't know, cloud or cloud storage or mobile desktop. Doesn't matter. What matters is, how do I benefit from it?
Alex, some quick observations from you on this one as well, maybe.
We've all designed an industry around the authoritative source being the supplier and their OTA representative. But we're going to have an industry where the consumer will have a personal AI agent who will be educated. So they will know some of the answers themselves already, and they will know the difficult and key questions that they need to ask on behalf of their human. And that is where it gets interesting, is that you as a supplier, a hotelier, an airline, a tour operator, you have to be trusted now, not by the human guest, but you have to be trusted by their AI agent. And so that completely changes how you pitch trust, because in classical marketing to humans, you can use emotion to create trust. Whereas in technology, AI agents don't really care about emotion too much. They care about stats and all sorts of other things. We're going to have to market to AI agents who are working on behalf of their humans in a completely different way than what we're marketing to human guests today. And fundamentally, that will come down to how we pitch trust.
I love both sets of observations here very, very much. If we were recording this podcast 2 years from now, what do you think we'd be saying has changed the most, Alex?
It's a great question. I tend to think in quite long time frames. So I'm already thinking about what's happening in 2 years, 3 years time, because I'm building for that. So any technologist who's only building for next season is building reactively rather than proactively. So I would argue that I'm already building what we're all going to be using in 2 years time. And I think we're going to have a mesh of AI agents, perhaps using Google's agent-to-agent protocol, which seems pretty solid. And this will completely change the funnel that the whole tourism industry and the hotel and airline industry has been building for the last 25, 30, 40 years. Because we were, in order to have a tourism experience, you may now be incorporating 10, 20 different services, each for just a minute part of the journey, all connected via an agent-to-agent mesh network. And I think that will happen, but the only reason it won't happen is because the incumbents, the big top-of-the-funnel players like the OTAs, are not keen on it because it will destroy their funnel. So we'll see how this all plays out. But I reckon that's what we'll be talking about in 2 years' time. And that's what I'm building today.
I love it. Mattis, in your view, what will have changed the most in 2 years from now, do you think, in terms of this conversation?
I think we won't speak about AI and LLM anymore. It will become just invisible, incorporated, and that is probably the biggest sign that it's working.
On that note, we do need to wrap up. We will continue to have this conversation. Before we know it, we will be back at ICB Berlin in March 2027. Hope that we will get to hear from you both again at the conference at that point. So thank you very, very much. It's been my pleasure to have you join us as our travel heroes today. Thank you, Mathis.
Thanks a lot, and thanks, ITB.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
It's been my absolute pleasure to host this one today. It's very clear that AI is no longer just a future trend. We need to think, what was it Alex said, 10, 20, 30 years ahead. It's already reshaping every part of the travel ecosystem. Thanks to everyone for listening to the ITB Berlin Travel Hero podcast. For more podcasts, of course, as always, please visit ITB Berlin's website. Safe travel. Till next time.